Hi fam, welcome to Sweet Truth. Do your day a listen. Fam, I am so excited today for so many different reasons. Number one, it's Monday. Number two, we are finally in book four of Psalms. That is something to be excited about. I'm like, finally, you know, finally. I mean, we finally hit the 90s. Woo! That's something to be celebrated, you know, because it's like, it's about time. I'm just so excited that we are finally in book four. Book four is gonna run us through Psalm 90 to 106, so I'm so excited to learn more, know more, you know. And it's just amazing. It's a good thing to read the word of God and learn the word of God and just know what it says, because you just never know what the Holy Spirit or God has for you to see and learn and know in that day through that word. Like, God speaks to us through his word, and so when you're reading the word, that's God speaking to you. You know, when it comes to the ways that God speaks to us, he speaks to us in different ways. I know so many of us would love to actually like hear a voice and whatnot, but it doesn't work that way, you know, for everybody, because God speaks to us in different ways. And for me, one of those ways is through his word, and so that is why I love the word. Look at me already just even speaking and preaching it without even getting into it. But anyway, that was just an encouragement to let you know that by simply you reading the word is God speaking to you through that word. And so that is why before you begin reading the word, you pray and ask God to speak to you as you read that word each and every time you pray. It's a simple prayer. Father God, speak to me, speak through me in this way that I'm about to read. Just like that, as simple as that. And he will speak to you. He speaks to us through his word. And so it is just a blessing. But anyway, today I will be reading from Psalm 90:1-17. It is the first book, or rather first chapter of book four. So I'm so excited. With that being said, Father God, bless this day, bless this word, and bless us. Amen. I will be reading from the Christian Standard Version, and this is a prayer of Moses. So Moses actually prayed this. This whole chapter of Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses. And so, as soon as I saw that it was a prayer of Moses, I'm like, Moses made it all the way to the Psalms. I'm like, all right, let's get into it. Okay, so with that being said, let's just jump right in. And it reads, Lord, you have been our refuge in every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. So isn't this quite interesting, you know, that God has been our refuge before he gave birth to the earth and the world, meaning before he even created, you know, the universe and the earth and the world and all that. We've been with God. God has been with us. Before all these things, he was God, is what this verse 2 is trying to say. before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God, meaning God was before the earth was. God was before the world was. God was before we were. From eternity to eternity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they was. So that it just, this is such an in-depth, you know, and I'm trying to find the right word, but it just gives you an in-depth knowledge to let you know that even before the world was, God was. So that puts every theory about all the Big Bang and all this and the earth just became and whatnot just became, you know, and all that, you know, whatever they be talking about, foolishness, it just, this draws the line, you know, it just lets you know, and it tells you, you know, so you don't have to think about what was before what was. The word lets you know that God was even before the earth was. And he's the one that gave birth to the earth, he's the one that gave birth to the world. So from eternity to eternity, God was already. And that's something. Then 3-6 goes on to describe man and how mortal man is, because at the end of the day, you have to know that we are mortal. And it reads, "You return mankind to the dust, saying, return, descendants of Adam. For in your sight, 1,000 years are like yesterday that passes by." You think about yesterday real quick. For us, it's just yesterday. It's just yesterday. But then the word says, our yesterday to God is like 1,000 years. Think about that. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I mean, so God is out of time. Because we live in time. We in this world, we live in time. God lives out of time. Therefore, his timing is not your timing. And that is what the word means when it says that our timing is not his timing, because he lives outside of our time. Just look at this. Yesterday, our yesterday is like 1,000 years to him. You know, just think about that. Oh, so I'm thinking about my yesterday and trying to comprehend that as being like 1,000 years to God. It's something that you can't even comprehend. That's why when God says he got you, God has got you. I don't know about you, but I want to trust someone who's outside of my time, who's out of my time, whom to him, my yesterday is like 1,000 years. That is so mind-blowing. It is so mind-blowing. So, for in your sight, 1,000 years are like yesterday that passes by, like a few hours of the night. You end their lives, they sleep, as human beings. They are like grass that grows in the morning. In the morning, it sprouts and grows. By evening, it withers and dries up. That is how simple, that is how fragile our lives are. So you ought not to take your life for granted, because it is as dust. It is so fragile. You know, you see plants in the noontime, in the morning, you know, they'll be out there, you know, sprouting and whatnot. Go check them out at night, see what they look like. Because some plants and even flowers, they shrivel up, you know, and wither and dry up. So when you think of that in that way, to when it comes to the flowers and plants and whatnot, that is how fragile our lives are. So we ought not to waste our lives and our time. Seven to eight. For we are consumed by your anger, we are terrified by your wrath. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Yo, fam, this just tells you that God knows everything about you. Nothing we do is a secret to God. Matter of fact, the enemy be snitching on you like God don't already know. Oh, don't think you just, you know, doing nothing, you know, just to do nothing. Oh, you know, how they gonna know? How they gonna know? Okay, we, your fellow humans might not know, but don't think God doesn't know. Don't think the enemy doesn't know. Because God is watching, the enemy is watching, and matter of fact, he's the one that even, you know, runs up to God and tells on you. He did that to Job, and, you know, Job and even did nothing. I mean, even the word says, still in Revelation, there is one of the chapters that says that the enemy, the devil, our adversary, you know, he presents himself before God. When he presents himself before God, what do you think he's doing? What do you think he's saying? He presents himself before God and he tells on you. You that thinks no one knows what you're doing, you that thinks no one knows what you're thinking, you that thinks, you know, how they gonna know, they ain't gonna know, you know, and the things that you're doing, your secret thoughts, and even the secret things that are deep down in your heart, every secret thing, every secret, every depth that there is to your secrets of secrets of secrets of secrets of secrets. Don't think, you know, God doesn't know that. Don't think the enemy doesn't know that. Because the word tells us he knows it. Our secret sins are made light in his presence. So trying to hide from God is a waste of time. Trying to hide from God is a waste of time. You know, because there may be people out there that are just trying, they're running from God, hiding from God, running from God and hiding from God. It's a waste of time. Because why run from someone that already knows everything? It doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense to want to hide from God or want to run from God when God already knows. It doesn't make sense. So rather than hiding, rather than running, you just want to come out to God and cry out and let God be the one to help you. Let God save you. Because he is the only one at the end of the day that can save you and help you. So stop running. Stop hiding. And present every secret thing before God. Expose yourself. Because God already knows you're the one that needs to do the inaction, you know, of exposing every single thing to God. Crying out to God. And saying, God, you know what? This and this and so etc. Help me, God. You know my struggles. You know what I face. You know what I'm going through, Father God. You'll be the one to rescue me. You'll be the one to help me. You tell God that. And God will help you. He will rescue you. He will protect you. And he will shield you. He is your father. He is your friend. He is for you. So you go to God. You go to God. It goes on to say, for all our days ebb away under your wrath. We end our years like a sigh, like, let's see. All our years on earth gone just like that, with a sigh. One sigh, gone. And so when that happens, what would you have left on earth for future generations to lean upon and know the light and know that God is the truth? What did you do? What was your legacy? What was your destiny? Think about that. It goes on to say, our lives last 70 years, or if we are strong, 80 years. Even the best of them are struggle and sorrow. Indeed, they pass quickly and we fly away. Even the best of our days are struggle and sorrow. Why do you think that is, fam? Why do you think we have struggles? It is because we live in a fallen and imperfect world. In case you didn't know, let me break it down, make it simple for you. We live in a fallen world. Ever since Adam and Eve, that was it. Until Christ returns, it's what we got. The word says, clearly states, you know, that you will have, you know, trials and tribulations. That is sorrows, that is struggle. That is what it's trying to say. You know, you will have struggles, you will have sorrow and whatnot, blah blah blah, but be encouraged. Why? Because Christ has overcome the world and he will help you and strengthen you. So let Christ be the one to strengthen you, because trust me, you can't strengthen yourself, fam. You cannot strengthen yourself. Your strength means nothing to the enemy. That is why he can easily attack, because when you're thinking that, oh, I can do it, or I can stop this, you know, I can do this, I can. No, you can't. Stop kidding yourself, stop lying to yourself. That is what the enemy wants you to think, that you can do it. Oh, I can just do it. I can do it. I can stop on my own. I can stop. No, you can't. Because the more you keep recycling that thought in your head of you can do it on your own, you can do it. You got this. That's when he comes in even stronger. That is when the enemy comes in even stronger, because you think you got this when you don't got this. You don't got this. That is why Christ has to be the one that got you. Christ has to be the one that got you, because you don't got yourself. You best believe and trust that you don't got yourself. So while you're over there, you know, lying to yourself, or rather letting the enemy lie to you, because the enemy is the one that lies to you, that deceives you. So while you're letting the enemy deceive you, you know, and pour in hints. Matter of fact, he just drops hints in your mind, in your thought life, you know, about how you can do this by yourself, and how you can do that, and how you got this, and how you got you, and blah, blah, blah. And then before you know it, you know, at the end of the day, you're crying, you know, you're struggling with this thing. It's a struggle. Why? Because you let the enemy drop a small hint in your mind talking about you got this, that you got you, that you can just stop. You think you can just wake up one day, you're just gonna magically wake up one day and be like, oh my goodness, I got that, I'll stop this, and blah blah blah. No, and then he comes in stronger. So you'll let God to be the one who got you. You'll let God be the one that got you. And the sooner you acknowledge that God is the only one that can help you, that Christ is the only one that can save you, the better for you. Because he is the only one who has overcome sin. We failed to overcome, you know, the sin, this imperfect world that was blessed upon us through Adam and Eve. We can't overcome that on our own. Are you kidding me? We cannot can't overcome nothing on our own. Let Christ be the one, because he is the only one who has overcome the world. He has overcome every sin, every iniquity, everything, literally everything, everything that you can think of that is wrong with the world today, that is wrong with you today, Christ has overcome that. So let him make you an overcomer through him who strengthens you. That is why your strength should be drawn from him, because he's the one that strengthens you. He's the one that overcame. Therefore, you become an overcomer through him that overcame. Wow. So let go and let Christ. Let go and let Christ. It goes on to say, who understands the power of your anger? Your wrath matches the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. Fam, listen to me. Our days are numbered. Whether you want to agree with that or not, whether you believe that or not, our days are numbered, period. Therefore, we don't have time to waste. So with the time that we have, we ought to be developing our relationship with Christ. That's number one, developing wisdom. And how do we gain wisdom? Well, we read the word, we spend time with God, we be in the word, we know the word, and then we obey the word, because the word says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, we fear the Lord. But this is it's a different kind of fear. You know, the enemy tries to bring in lies about how, like, we have to be scared of God or something like that. It is not talking about that kind of fear, like when you watch, you know, a bad movie or something, or you see something scary or something that frightens you. It is not that kind of fear. It is a holy fear. It is a holy fear. It is a fear that says, I will obey God. I will obey his word. Even though it's not easy, I will do what's right. I will live a righteous life. I will be a righteous woman or man. I will live righteousness. That kind of fear. It's a holy fear. It's not I'm terrified of God kind of fear, like I'm scared, like I don't want to draw closer to him because I'm scared. No, it is a holy fear. It is a fear that says, I will obey Christ. And as soon as you begin living out that kind of fear, that holy fear, is when you begin to gain wisdom. Because you're spending time in the Word. As you spend time in the Word, you're gaining wisdom. It is for your good. It is for your good. So think about that. Think about that. Then it goes on to say, Lord, how long? Turn and have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love, so that we may shout with joy and be glad all our days. Make us rejoice for as many days as you have humbled us. For as many years as we have seen adversity, let your work be seen by your servants, meaning let God's work in us be seen. That is our testimony. That is your testimony, that God's work be seen in your life and through your life. So let your work be seen by your servants and your splendor by their children. Meaning even your children have to see this. You know, future generations have to know how God changed your life, how God saved your life. Then last but not least, let the favor of the Lord our God be on us. Establish us for the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. Can I get an amen on that with a period?
This is such a blessing, fam. Let the favor of the Lord our God be on us. Amen. I want the favor of the Lord my God to be upon me. I want him to establish the work of my hands. Oh, glory. Oh, glory is unto God, so that all glory can be unto God. And this blessing, I love the psalm. What a powerful psalm. I mean, what a powerful prayer. Moses, huh? Wow. So, fam, Christ wants you. Christ wants you. So for those willing to come out and start fresh with Christ, pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that he died and rose just for me. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. Father, I surrender every aspect of my life over to you. Father, I surrender every aspect of my heart over to you. Every habit I cast it at your feet. Every private thought I cast it down. Lord, I surrender to you. I am forever yours. Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ washes me, cleanses me, covers me, and makes me whole. Father, I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Fam, and if you pray that prayer, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. Fam, I hope that you've been encouraged by this psalm. What a blessing. I mean, Psalm 90. I mean, Moses, come on with it. Come on with it. Tell it like it. I mean, he gave it to us straight, fam. So I hope that you've been blessed. Be blessed, be encouraged, and be fearless.